Well, hello, and thanks for tuning in to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. We bring you these teachings through the wash and word hand car washing business in Churchill. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the hand car wash, and we use the money there to support our family, but also to support this ministry. So if you are one who appreciates verse by verse Bible teaching, who understands the importance of the entire counsel of God's word, not just cherry picking parts of it that you like to hear, and if you want to help keep this ministry on the air, we don't want any money. We don't want any charity. We're not asking for any tithes or gifts or love offerings. We simply want to earn our money. So come on by and let us wash your car. And it's with that we keep this ministry alive. That being said, let's go ahead and just get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. I would like to just say, if you have any questions about this business or this ministry, you can visit our website at washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can hear these messages and find out info about the business and this ministry. Now, we are in the book of Ecclesiastes. We've been going through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And we just finished sort of a four-part mini-series on verses 1 through 12 of chapter 9. And the reason we took so long to go over those 12 verses was because the subject matter. And just simply put, it was about death. And, you know, you can't just gloss over death. And, you know, if you are a cherry-picking type of preacher, you would most likely probably stay away from passages like Ecclesiastes 9 or first part of it. But God put it there for a reason. And, you know, death is the ultimate manifestation of life in sort of a an unorthodox kind of way. But we're not going to belabor the point of death because, you know, like I said, we spent the last four messages. You can go to washandword.com and listen to those. So let's proceed and begin to look at verse 13 moving forward of chapter 9, Ecclesiastes. But before we do that, I'd like to remind you all that there is a race. No, I know some of you are already getting excited. I'm talking about NASCAR. This isn't about Bristol. There is a race that we all take part in. A life race that touches every single one of us. A race that causes us to do things each day, motivates us day in and day out. And no, it's not what you're thinking. I'm not referring to the rat race, but a race that pits wisdom against aging. Wisdom versus aging. Wisdom against age. And I don't know about you, but it seems the majority of us are aging a lot faster than we are gaining wisdom. I'm 50 years old, and my wife will be the first to tell you that I act like a teenager in so many ways. Sometimes it's just foolishness of doing things. Sometimes it's the way I think or the things that I say. And, you know, but at my age, there should be so many things that don't pop into my head but do. And there should be so many things that I should know but don't. But that's the race that we're all in. We are all aging faster than we are gaining wisdom. And joking aside, there are a lot of people out there who are in their 50s and in their 60s, but mentally speaking, spiritually speaking, they may be of elder age, but they haven't grown in life. They haven't grown in wisdom. They haven't grown in understanding. And the Bible's clear that the wisdom begins with the fear of God. So without the fear of God, without the knowledge of God, one will never achieve wisdom, especially at the rate at which one ages. Now, today's message, if you haven't figured it out, is about wisdom. And you say, well, this doesn't that sound familiar? Well, it does, because Solomon started off this book talking a lot about wisdom. After all, it is a book about wisdom predominantly. But we should probably make clear that wisdom and knowledge are two different things. Wisdom and knowledge are two different things, often grouped together, often lumped as one, but very different in their nature. For instance, in 1 Corinthians, we're told that we all possess knowledge, but it also says that knowledge puffs up. Knowledge brings pride. And there are many other definitions, but one that will probably do us the best here on this teaching, when it comes to trying to define the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And listen, wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. Now, I say that all slow and pausingly and dramatically, as if it was some great revelation, and it kind of is. Wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. And if more of us did such a thing, if more of us took the knowledge we had and used it wisely, i.e. for God, well, then that would increase both wisdom and knowledge. You see, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is actually a fruit. Wisdom is never putting it in a fruit salad. Now, there are many things I know, but without wisdom, knowledge becomes useless. Without wisdom, the things I know are useless. I know I should change the oil in my car on a regular basis. Wisdom is doing it. I know there are certain things that you just don't say to your wife, and wisdom is not saying them. I know that I should probably stop lame attempts at jokes over the air when I'm preaching to a microphone. Wisdom would be actually stopping the lame jokes. But wisdom can only be learned and applied through one particular process. And it is that dreaded process of aging. You see, wisdom is so directly tied into aging that they cannot be separated. Sure, one can surpass the other. We can age without wisdom. But real wisdom comes with the aging process. I read a quote said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years." Actually, that was Mark Twain that said that. Wisdom is most and best attained through the aging process. And if we do it with the help of the Lord, with the seeking after God, then that is how we truly become wise in the eyes of God. Because we're not looking to be wise in the eyes of the world. The Bible is clear that wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. We want wisdom that God looks at and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so with age comes wisdom, or at least should. The challenge is creating an environment in your life that allows these two things, age and wisdom, to grow simultaneously and equally together. Much like the wheat and the tares in the parable of the wheat and tares that Jesus told. He said, "Let them grow together and we'll separate them at the end." Well, we are to try and create. The challenge is creating an environment or a lifestyle that is fruitful to age and wisdom growing equally together. To further that point, look, I'm glad Solomon has moved on from the last few chapters that have dealt with government and governmental obedience and death, you know, two subjects of almost equal distaste. And I'm glad he's moved on to wisdom, but we are not off the hook just because Solomon has turned his subject matter back to wisdom, because the word wisdom itself must be carefully dissected. And if we're honest, to be found presented in a wary light. For instance, God himself proclaims in 1 Corinthians 1:20, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" So be careful of the word wisdom. Wisdom that has removed the word wise is just dumb. Let that one sink in for a minute. Wisdom that has removed the word wise is just dumb. Can't take wise out of wisdom, and you're just left with dumb. And we have replaced it, unfortunately, with the word man. It's mandom. It's our kingdom. It's our will. It's our way. It's man's technology. It's man's accomplishments. It has no benefit, and it is equally dumb. But when you put Jesus there, now you have the king. And when you combine king with wisdom, take out the wise and put Jesus, you have kingdom. So the choice is yours. There's wisdom, mandom, or kingdom. I prefer to put the king first and let him bring forth the proper dumb. Okay, I know that was a little corny or dumb. I told you I wasn't going to stop. I know I should, but I'm not going to stop the dumb jokes. All right. The wisdom of God, listen, the wisdom of God will lead you into fullness and liberty and inward peace in the midst of the pressures and dangers of life. Let regular wisdom try and do that. See what mandom does when you get to the pressures and the dangers of life. But godly wisdom, kingdom wisdom, that's where we need to look. I think the sum of this book and what Solomon, the wisest of all, save Jesus Christ, what he's trying to say is that wisdom is the discovery of living a life that is both pleasing to God and fulfilling to the individual. Boy, I wish I was out of time, because that would be a great place to start, but we have a few more minutes left. I'm going to say it again. Wisdom is the discovery of living a life that is both pleasing to God and fulfilling to each individual. Reading the last two verses of where we left off in our last four teachings, look at verse 11 and 12 one more time if you have your Bibles. Ecclesiastes 9, 11 and 12. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned, but time and chance happens to them all. So when it comes to living a wise life, which equates to living a fulfilled life, we must remember a few things. Number one, a God-pleasing, fulfilling life begins by recognizing that natural gifts are helpful, but not reliable. Natural gifts are helpful, but not reliable. So a God-pleasing, fulfilling life begins by recognizing that your natural gifts, while helpful, you can't rely upon them. Naturally kind people that do naturally kind things and are naturally kind to others will not always be commended for their kindness. And you could replace that with giving or generosity or compassion or loving. The point is that natural gifts are not reliable when it comes to seeking a godly, fulfilling life and a self-fulfilling life. Martin Ritz said, I don't have a lot of respect for talent. Talent is genetic. It's what you do with it that counts. So whether it be strength or human wisdom or brilliance, being fast or an athlete, none of that matters because, as Solomon just wrote, time and chance happen to all. Time and chance are the overriding factors, regardless of your natural gifts. The old song by the Isley Brothers, I'm saying that wrong, I'm sure. It's your thing, do what you want to do. Well, that's false, because Proverbs 16:9 says, In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Well, we'll stop right there. I didn't actually get into anything new verse by verse wise, but we'll pick it up verse 13 in our next message. Again, I encourage you to go to the website for information about this business or to hear archived messages. You can come by the Wash and Word parking lot. We're playing our sermons 24/7 on 107.1 FM. Anywhere in the parking lot, you can listen to these teachings. We just also invite you to come by, of course, and get your car washed, help keep us afloat. Aside from that, join me again here on WMCH Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. yeah, I guess that's it. You have a blessed day, and we love you. Let us know you're hearing these messages when you come by. Bye-bye.